Welcome to Good Things Radio, a lifestyle show about activating your mind, body, and soul to become fully alive. And now, your host, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. Good morning on this Wednesday, September 11th, 2019, a day of remembrance. Federal law includes a congressional request that the flag be flown this day at half staff. It is Patriot Day as we look back to 18 years ago and a nation changed by the events that unfolded that day. And just to share, because we all have our own story of how that day, the events and the impact changed the trajectory of our nation and our own personal journeys. And for us at the time, my husband was serving in the United States Army. We were at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. I was 9 months pregnant with our first baby, a son. And the days that followed, again, I think for all of us, are forever imprinted into memory. And I believed at the time my husband would be deployed as an active duty paratrooper. In fact, we had been asked to prepare for the event, that he would not be there to see our son born. By the grace of God, my husband was there. Our son was born healthy on September 14th. It ended up being the National Day of Prayer that Friday. If you remember President Bush, and there in church is our entire nation bent our knees and prayed. And now my son will turn 18 in just a few days as we celebrate his birthday, but also remember this day. And growing up in the shadow of that time, from an early age, he heard the stories about the heroes on Flight 93 and what happened in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and the Pentagon and the New York City hero firefighters, and so many stories. And now as he prepares to turn 18 on Saturday, he himself training in the fire sciences to be, he hopes, a firefighter, and is also a member of the United States Army Reserves. And it's interesting how the legacy goes on and what we've learned, and so many people inspired to serve because of that day. And I think also that's the paradox of the cross. From great evil, great good can come. And we all have a story. We remember where we were. We recall the emotions that even now emerge with great intensity on a day like today. So how can we best offer this day as a prayer? If you haven't already gone to daily mass, today is a beautiful day to go, or to adoration, or to have a moment of silence if possible. 8:46 a.m. is the moment when the first plane struck the Twin Towers. So a great time just to be still and to pray, and to pray the rosary or just kneel for a moment. That's a simple way to honor the souls, to pray for the families on this day, for those who continue to preserve peace and our nation. And at the end of the show today, I want to share a note from St. John Paul II and a message, a prayer that he shared at the Wednesday audience in Rome on September 15th, 2001. I think that'll be a good way to end today's show. So looking ahead to Lent 2020, it's exactly 24 weeks from today. That's Ash Wednesday, February 26th, but who's counting? I mean, we're not even at Advent yet, already a little bit talking about Lent. But the reason I bring it up is because it's also the time frame of our next pilgrimage to the Holy Land. In fact, we will be in Jerusalem during Ash Wednesday, there to pray the Stations of the Cross on the Via Dolorosa, the first Friday of Lent. Such a powerful thought to be there on those footsteps in that path. And you are invited to join us. And so with that, I'm really excited to introduce you to an eclectic electric crew assembled here today, gathered with me in studio, souls that would likely never would have met had it not been for the yes, the call to pilgrimage, the fiat. And so without delay, I would like to introduce our intrepid travelers here on the program. And we'll start, we have a bit of a round table panel here. And we'll start with you, Greg, if you could just share your name and where you went.
My name is Greg Dewar from North Canton, Ohio. My wife and I decided last winter to go to the Holy Land. It actually was my wife's idea.
And your wife is with you.
And I'm Val. Hi.
And so together you journeyed as a couple.
We did. Absolutely.
And we'll talk about that. And next we have Jackie.
Jackie France from North Kenton as well. And I was on the pilgrimage just this year, 2019.
And also during Lent.
Absolutely during Lent. Perfect for Lent.
Yes. And Vicki.
Hi, I'm Vicki Shabilsky, and I went on the pilgrimage that was almost 2 years ago. And
with your family.
Also, right. I brought my husband and my youngest child.
And I think this is kind of like a pilgrimage in miniature because there here represents the different models. You have single travelers, you have couples, and you have families. And so the first question always is why pilgrimage? It's such a personal experience. So Greg and Val, I want to start with you. Why the Holy Land?
It wasn't a choice. We were sitting in St. Paul's and the announcement was made that there was a pilgrimage. And I said, I want to go. And we almost didn't go, but then it turned out to be the Christmas present where he followed up and handled. There was no choice. It was
you just felt immediately.
I did. It's and this is when you know God's talking is when it comes out of your mouth and not in your brain. Yeah. So that's what happened.
And you're not world travelers. It's
Never.
Not like you guys are traipsing to different things. This was kind of a big first for you.
It was, and we've even Absolutely. Talked about because so many of the group have done so many fabulous places, and we talked about do we want to do that? No, this was it. All end all.
And how long have you been married?
39 years.
Mm-hmm. You ended up renewing your wedding vows in Cana. We'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. For you, Jackie, going as a long time, I think, bucket list item, how did you know this was the trip and you were being called?
Well, I had been with you, if you remember, in Italy.
Yes.
With my husband. And my husband passed. And at this point, when you brought this up, it was just like something I needed.
And for you, Vicki?
Well, it had always been a bucket list item for myself and my husband, and we had made this long list of everything we wanted to do when we retired. But that summer, before the pilgrimage, a dear friend of ours passed away only 6 weeks after retiring, and I told my husband, I said, if we have an opportunity to go, we're not waiting, we're going. And a week later, you called me and said, hey, I'm putting this trip together. Do you want to go? And I was like, oh, well, that's it.
In our case, we traveled with Brother John Michael Paul. He is the Vicar of the Americas for the community of St. John. So he was with us and so tremendously prayerful. On the pilgrimage, we pray the Liturgy of the Hours, which is really beautiful because you're enfolded in this prayer cadence of a monk. And so what was your first impression, Val and Greg, having never obviously gone to the Holy Land? And I think a lot of people have fear associated with it, of course, unknowns. We know all our life where they're taken through scripture to the Holy Land, but your first impressions of actually landing on that soil?
We had no expectations.
Right.
So the minute you see it, you just know that you're walking in the same place where Jesus walked. And it's just overwhelming. To describe these things is very difficult. It's indescribable.
What about you, Jackie?
Well, I think I shared the feeling that everybody else was expressing, which is it's just kind of surreal. Mm-hmm. It's above.
Was it drier? Was it more beautiful? Was it different than what you ever pictured?
The land itself, I felt, was incredibly beautiful. We had perfect weather. I loved outdoors. We did a lot of outdoors. I loved the layering. If you remember, we had to layer. It would be cool in the morning and warmer in the afternoon and so forth and so on.
And such is the life of a woman. We already have shawls and cardigans and sweaters.
Yeah.
So you're peeling it off. You're putting it on.
I was going expecting to be transformed. That had been my prayer from the beginning. I needed a transformation. I was going through a big change in my life, and I needed a sense of where do we go from here, Lord? And the Holy Land was a perfect place to go for that.
And what about you, Vicki? Because you went with your son, who is in middle school, and I think the dynamics of husband, wife, mother, father, your son, what were your collective impressions? Do you remember?
Well, with my husband and I both being law enforcement, of course, we had some initial concerns about safety. And as soon as we landed, there was not one moment where we didn't feel safe. The entire trip. We had watched a couple documentaries about Israel to kind of prepare ourselves for what we were going to see, but we were both amazed at how modern it was. And
very much like the West. We had a great opportunity to connect with a professor, Rabbi Spitzer at Walsh, and he said, anything that you find here, you'll find there. They take American currency. And that, again, it's so, because forever ancient, ever new, is that worlds colliding. and also the center point of faith for Jews and Christians and Muslims and Orthodox and just everything right there. So for your senses, it's constantly overwhelmed, but in a beautiful way. And those areas we went, all of the central places in the life of our Lord, our Jesus, our champion, his ministry, Bethlehem, the Jordan River, Mount Tabor, Jerusalem, Galilee, Nazareth, Capernaum, you're there. And for you, Val and Greg, you actually renewed your vows in Cana, there, where the wedding feast took place. What was that like?
I think it was pretty special.
I used to have a picture, and you have your hand on Val's shoulder. And was it emotional? Did you kind of go back through the years of your 39 years together?
I would say that was the understatement. The cool thing was to be able to say that you were actually at the spot of the wedding feast, and that's where you got to renew.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing about the Mass, because Father, at these sites, and it's a beautiful gift about being Catholic, is we receive the Eucharist in these places where Jesus was born, where Jesus died and rose again, and to receive Jesus in the body and blood of Christ. And here in Scripture, when Father says it happened here, the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, or the Mount of Beatitudes, it happened here. And the Scripture is reflective to that. And you're just, your mind is blown by the reality of it.
My impression when we first went there, you hear the readings and the locations, but when you actually enter the country and then you start driving and you realize we're in cars, you learn the geography of Scripture and how far things were apart. That was pretty impressive.
Jackie, when we were walking in Cana, we had gone after the vow renewal, and Angelus, one of our pilgrims, really wanted some wine from Cana. And despite our tour guide saying, it's actually not really great wine here, but she wanted it. And this gift store we went to was beautiful. And on the outside of the gift store, we were talking, and you said, I need to come back again. Mm-hmm. This might not be enough. I need to come back for another time. And explain why you felt that and how that call prompted you.
First of all, I already knew I wasn't able to take it all in. Mm-hmm. When we talked to Rabbi Spitzer, he'd said he'd been there 70-some times. And I'm like, wow, I know I need at least one more time. I already knew I couldn't take it all in, and Cana was special. Watching the vows was incredible. I can still draw up some of the feelings of being kind of overwhelmed by the immensity, the surreality of what was going on.
And you're someone who has studied Scripture intensely for many years. Mm-hmm. And so how has that impacted you in the time where we would have breakfast in the mornings? You get together as pilgrims, and you know you're going to start this momentous day, and you're still processing what happened the night before. I know at one point in breakfast, you're saying, I don't, God's going to do something with all of this. And it was all still swirling.
And it's, I won't say it stopped swirling, because it stopped swirling for you. I mean, it's still swirling some, but it gets clearer and clearer all the time. I had prayed for this transformation. It was a theme of our Magnificat conference in July. Having community around you to go through it, to me, is essential. That's what Magnificat is about, community.
In a trip like this where you go on pilgrimage, it's a different kind of stimulation. It's almost a detox from our current culture, and you are placed physically into another time. And I want to talk a little bit about that. As a pilgrim, you unavoidably find yourself immersed in this different context, different embodiment of the same faith. Again, talking about other customs, other ways to pray. We were there at the Western Wall hearing the minaret call for the Muslim call to prayer. And we as Christians there, and all of it just here, there at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and converging in one great center point. What was that like for you to digest that? And I'll start with you, Vicki, because you as a family love history.
Especially for my son, he was in seventh grade when we went. It was a huge impact because not only did he get to see these places, but immediately when he came back in history class, that was the chapter when they started learning about the Middle East.
Mm.
So he was like, oh, I was there, and I was there, and I was there.
That's pretty cool. Any surprises about the trip or going there that you just were kind of caught? I didn't expect this. More walking than you thought, more beautiful than you thought.
Yes.
All the above. Yeah. And so what was the most significant spot for you from venerating the place where Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that gold star that we've all seen, to ascending to Mount Tabor, to floating on the Sea of Galilee on a boat, and then, of course, to being there and kneeling at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre? Anything for you personally? Ein Kerem, I know, was special for you, where Jesus, where Elizabeth and Mary met.
Very special, but I have to tell you personally, Masada.
Masada, the mountaintop fortress.
Because I am a person who loves nature so much, being on top of that fort, that tall plateau, looking around, being able to see for miles and miles and miles. And it was a place where I could kind of sit and let things kind of sit in. It was kind of a day of rest almost compared to some of the other days. So that was impactful. I had a day at the hotel that was interesting. As you recall, at that second hotel, we had a tabernacle.
Yes, it was a Catholic hotel just outside of the gate in Bethlehem.
So Father exposed Jesus for a couple hours at one or two of the nights, and I was in there, and it occurred to me, here I was with the same Jesus that I am with at St. Paul's or at Walsh or anywhere, any tabernacle I go to. But at the same time, he wouldn't be in those tabernacles if he hadn't walked these steps in this place. I had to pick up little mementos. I got a leaf from Gethsemane, and I've got a rock from the shores of Galilee, and I've got a rock from here and a twig from somewhere else, you know, all of these places, just to remind myself that I'd actually physically been there. So, and I found when I took them out in preparation for this, they had even more meaning today than they had when I first picked them up. And I was like, wow, thank you, Jesus, that you inspired me to pick them up then, knowing that this was overwhelming, that maybe after I got home and it was all settled in, it would be a nice little reminder.
And the beauty, again, of the natural world and those elements, the stone and the twig and the different things, that the view at Masada that completely elevate up to the heavens and teach us about the truth.
Right.
And it's kind of funny, Greg, because I don't think Masada was on your top. I don't think you really... Did you like Masada?
Well, I think I was at the point where maybe I was struggling with some physical ailment. But it is impressive because it just reminds you of creation. And when you look at it in the world, I don't know, it's a pretty impressive place.
To paint the picture, it is a mountaintop fortress that was built by Herod, and it's in the area of the Dead Sea, that region. And when you also go and the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found out in Qumran. So it's in this desert region where you can see so far and you think, oh, it's arid and it's dry, but it's beautiful and breathtaking. And so I think, like you said, to have that landscape before you and how tiny we are, and then you also look back into history, it really just swallows you into the story of salvation history, of why we're here. It really is why I think, whether it's running a marathon or taking a pilgrimage, it's so often compared to life. We are hobos. We are homeward bound on a journey. And for you two to share a highlight, was there one particular significant spot that you were just moved and touched?
I'm going to say the Holy Sepulchre, just because you physically get to touch the stone that was in front of the tomb. And it's like, that's crazy when you think about it.
Yeah. One of our pilgrims, Dale, on the last night, we all get together in a round table form and we share some nuggets and takeaways. And he said, God is not dead. And I loved that, because you see the profound passion in people that are traveling from all over the world, and also different faith traditions as well, because these people you're seeing are the most devout in the world that reside there in Jerusalem. And for you, Vicky, anything that was surprising? We had touched on that a little bit earlier, that caught you off guard about the Holy Land or your experience. Did it hit you more than what you thought, or was it just all of it that collectively was anything different than what you expected?
It did, because I was concerned that being there with my family as a mother and a wife, that I'd be so wrapped up in taking care of everybody else that I wouldn't have an opportunity to really get away mentally and spiritually. And I did, especially in the area where they held Jesus the night before he was crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't really, in the Gospels, they don't go into great detail about what happened that night. And to just experience that and be in that place was amazing.
The Holy Pit. There's a church, it's called St. Peter Gallicantu, and you know, we have tradition, the writings of Sister Anne Catherine Emmerich and the like, that take us into meditative ecstasy of what maybe it would have been like, but to be there. And that, I think, for all of us was one of those moments where it's very sobering. And you're supposed to have silence down in the Holy Pit. But the group before us, I think they were Pentecostal. And they were really, you know, they were groaning and they were crying. And it was really interesting because it's just all of humanity kind of there. And they were kind of confessing and they were making reparations. It was in Spanish. And Father John Michael Paul is a tremendous translator and knows many different languages. And so he was kind of conveying what they were saying. And they were confessing their own sins and they were offering reparation for the pain that Jesus went through. And then also, too, when you're on pilgrimage, you kind of get bits and pieces of other pilgrims, too, because there were some groups that would sing. And this a cappella, beautiful, like hymns from heaven. So there's just so much to go into. And as we conclude, I just want to go around and say, what would you offer to someone who's on the fence that says, I'm not really a traveler. I don't even know if I would feel safe. And I'm not sure that the Holy Land's on my radar. Any response through your experience that you would offer? Vicki, I'll start with you.
Well, first and foremost, if it's even a thought in your mind, go. Don't wait, just go. God will provide the money, the child care, the care for your house, whatever, you know, details you need to work out, just go. And it truly is the fifth gospel, because there are times now, almost 2 years later, my family and I will be in church and we'll be reading a gospel and my husband and I will kind of look at each other and kind of smile and be like, yeah, we were there. It's so cool. So yeah, it is truly a life-changing experience.
Thank you, Vicki. Jackie?
Well, I would too say just go. And yes, it's going to be a life-changing experience, and maybe not to look for it on a day-to-day basis, but let it kind of gestate, let it kind of go through the months and afterwards, because as you look back, you'll see, oh my gosh, when I really entered into the scripture and into the Mass at that place, at that time, I can see this change in my life because of that. Again, like Vicki said, if it's on your mind, it's in your heart, it's time to go.
One of our pilgrims, Christina, said, you know, people go to Disney World every year. I'm going to the Holy Land if I can, you know. And you realize, because it's like when we read scripture, you might read the same passage, but you might be at a different place or different things might stick out. And having gone a few times to the Holy Land, I feel that, where one place that I enjoyed would completely hit me between the eyes a second time. And so it really is the Holy Spirit and God's grace working through these sites. And for you, Val and Greg.
And that has been because I have had such a struggle to describe it. That's typically what I say, is just go. And I have told my kids, if I get rich enough to send you while I'm alive, I will. But if not, promise me you'll go with what's left, because you should go. You just should go.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, we are going, so want to extend the invitation to you. And Brother John Michael Paul and I, he, again, the Vicar of the Americas for the Community of St. John, we will be traveling to the Holy Land, would love to have you. And we're proud to work with Select International as well this year, a world-class agency, one of the best in Catholic travel. So the dates are February 22nd through March 3rd, 2020. And I like getting away that time of year because it's really kind of dreary and wintry here. And in the Middle East, it's such a nice time. Plus, we'll be there again on Ash Wednesday in Jerusalem. Would love to have you. You can visit selectinternationaltours.com. Just search for Brooke Taylor, Brooke with an E, and you can find all of the upcoming trips, but space is limited. You can also reach me, feedback@goodthingsradio.com. That's our email, brooketaylor.us. So lots of places where you can get information. And God bless you, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
September 11th, 2001 was a Tuesday. The next day, Wednesday, is when the Pope was scheduled each week, every week, to address the pilgrims gathered at St. Peter's Square. And as we wrap up the show today, knowing that it is September 11th, the first plane hit the World Trade Center at 8:46. So we are nearing that time. People will be making a moment of silence, a simple kneeling, saying a prayer, saying the rosary. Is a beautiful way to observe and offer this day as a prayer. But I wanted to end the show today with what St. John Paul II said on the Wednesday after September 11th. Normally, he would use the time for catechesis on the family or other issues, but he set everything aside on September 12th to address the tragedy. And this is what he said. O Lord Jesus, remember our deceased and suffering brothers before your Father. Remember us also as we begin to pray with your words, Pater Noster. O Almighty and merciful God, you cannot be understood by one who sows discord. You cannot be accepted by one who loves violence. Look upon our painful human condition, tried by cruel acts of terror. Comfort your children and open our hearts to hope, so that our time may again know days of serenity and peace. Through Christ our Lord, amen. And I think that is still our prayer. As we seek this day to be a day of peace and unity, we remember those who perished that day, and we honor those who still are serving and preserving our peace today. So thank you for being a part of the show. We pray for our nation today. We pray for Our Lady, Immaculate Conception. That is the title of the patroness of the United States. And we pray for our nation. God bless you, friends. Until next time, peace and love.
Good Things Radio is a production of St. Gabriel Media. Adventure, encounter, evangelize. To find out more, or to schedule Brooke to speak to your group or parish, visit brooketaylor.us. That's brooketaylor.us. Good Things Radio is a production of Coming Home Studios, produced by Mark Cumming. Find out more at www.cominghomestudio.com.